Welcome back, everyone. The way we left off, I said I would ask Pam to come in. So Pam, the floor is yours. And then after Pam, I would invite you or Richard or any of your team to weigh in on some of these issues raised regarding questions 4, 5, and 6.
Sure, but, you might just go to Ellen as well after Pam.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. First, Pam.
All right. Great. Thank you. And I see that this topic of E or S plus G is also taking up some chat space. And speaking from the World Bank perspective, we're reducing poverty and boosting shared prosperity are overarching goals. I have deep appreciation and support for Greg's comments about the interconnectedness of many of these ESG factors, like poverty and access to power sources, because often the quickest and easiest way to provide people access to power is sometimes not the greenest way. And when I first read the discussion paper, I did feel like the single materiality in a climate first suggestion was possibly too narrow. And I still feel that it's too narrow. But then I was listening further to comments about creating broad scorecards and a greater remit. It also reminded me that there is a lot of activity in this arena already. I think most of you will be familiar with the UN Sustainable Development Goals as a framework that's already out there. And there's an entire cottage industry, or maybe larger now, because I see the big four are also geared up and helping companies to report under SDGs as well, that this is another area where we would have to think carefully about the stakeholders if we want to go that broad. Because I think about activities that haven't been as much maybe on the radar of the most recent the discussion paper and the references it makes, but the UN Global Compact has partnered with the GRI, and they have an initiative called Reporting on the SDGs to push and shape corporate reporting on the SDGs further. And they even have papers out there about doing so with an investor lens. So there already is a scorecard, and there is even some principles. The Principles for Responsible Investment organization is also a partner in this initiative with an investor lens. So again, I think if the trustees are going to move forward with this, the issue of clarity about scope and interaction with other standard setting organizations are pivotal and becomes an even larger exercise the more you bleed, I guess, from within the environmental spectrum, you know, all the way through to governance. And so I think that scope issue has to be thought through really carefully as part of the buy-in and eliciting cooperation discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam. Ellen, I missed your request in the chat room. I was busy reading Ken's intervention, Garth, and this is all good stuff, gentlemen. We are in a moment, we've got a little bit more ground to cover on these questions 4, 5, and 6. For the next segment, I will group, similarly, I will group questions 7, 8, 9 together, and a lot of what you've said, Ken, Garth, Greg, pertains to those questions. But so we're going to hold off on that for just a moment. But first, Ellen. Hello, Ellen. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you, Bill. I just wanted to make some high-level observations regarding 4, 5, 6. It looks to me personally that we ought to think ahead a number of questions. Of course, there are a lot of questions to ask. And to form some kind of a strategy, for example, how to consolidate the existing initiatives, right? There are many out there. Would you take into account all of them equally, or would you just start from one of them as a basis? And then taking into account some elements from the others, of course, this comes down to defining the scope first. And also, what would be the relationship between this envisioned global framework and the existing regional ones? Would the global one allow flexibility in there for additional regional requirements? And what will be this global, the relationship between the global framework and the regulatory, reporting requirements, for example, Basel's Pillar 3? I believe they're also forming disclosure on sustainability issues. And finally, you know, to what extent the emerging market aspect and the proportionality should be taken into account into this global framework. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Lee, I'd like to give you any of your colleagues the floor. I mean, so this grouping of questions of 4, 5, and 6, question 4, the relationship with other stakeholders, with a focus on consistent adoption or adoption, consistent application. Interesting point there was that I heard was, yeah, by all means, global consistency is desirable, highly desirable, but careful not to be too exclusive. You know, there are groups working on in this space, but let's not forget about, let's make sure we include everyone that's got some work, some initiatives going on in this area. Similarly, with question 5, working with the existing initiatives, I like the phrase, you know, I think it was Leslie, cooperate, not co-opt. The need to research all the existing standards, of which there is a formidable amount. There's a focus on measurement and definition. I like the example of carbon footprint and carbon offsets, exactly how those are defined. So that's going to be a critical point as we head further down this road. The difference between consistent application of financial versus non-financial standards is a point that was raised. I also like the point that was made about the possibility of taking a modular approach. And then, again, the financial versus non-financial, the difficulty in achieving comparability with non-financial standards and versus financial standards. On question 6, an interesting point was raised about how perspectives vary. For example, in the EU, it's more about the public interest. In the IFRS, it's more about investors. So it's good to acknowledge that, but how do you square that circle? Lee, let me ask you for your reactions.
Thank you, Bill. And again, Council, thank you very much for all of the contributions that we're hearing through this discussion. Incredibly valuable. Perhaps, Bill, if I might just add a couple of elements, some of which I've already said before, so my apologies if I'm sounding a little like a broken record. But, you know, where we're at in producing this paper was very much at a point of wanting to hear this type of advice we're hearing today from a range of stakeholders. And where the balance gets challenging is sometimes, like this conversation, and I suspect with some of the ones coming in questions 7, 8, and 9, it's a desire to get to some of the more meatier types of the discussion. But for the trustees, they recognise that there's that desire to get to that, but we're really still at a very early stage of saying, is there this demand? And you know, moving through that. So we've been very careful to keep our questions very open. We're hoping that will actually encourage a lot more responses to what we've outlined there in the questions so that we can clearly hear what people are saying and understand the level of demand that there might be for these standards and certainly for our involvement. But I can understand that people are saying, well, yes, and let's get now into more of that. And if there was that level of demand, certainly next stages would need to be in more detail. And that's where, again, some of this conversation could then flow into that second level of consultation if we needed to do it. A couple of reflections as well, Bill, if I may. You know, this engagement with organisations that are already involved in doing some of this work. Clearly, the trustees recognise the importance of building on that valuable work that already exists in this space, no question about that. Through the ISB, there is a membership of the FSB, and that's been obviously very focused around the excellent work of the TCFD in this remit And so that's something we've been following and engaging with closely. You know, I'd also say that understanding and appreciating some of the current limitations within the remit of sustainability reporting means that, you know, it would in fact be dealing with a less mature environment than certainly financial reporting. And I think that was one of the key messages that were being said to us. But obviously thinking further about the measurement and consistency of reporting would be something further down the line if we were to get to that point. And that sort of flows obviously then for the consistent application discussion, which is really more of a medium to end goal rather than necessarily on day one, which I think a number of people. If I could come to one question, which I think Bee Ling raised, and she was asking the question around mandating, will it be mandated? Everyone I think on here would appreciate this, but I'll say it again, that's up to others, not necessarily the foundation to take that decision. What we would be on, if we got to the point of an SSB, would be to create the quality standards in a timely way. Then those, like public authorities, would say, well, this is good, let's mandate it. And so I think that question and responsibility is for others, albeit, you know, we have an involvement if we were to get that far. I might pause then, Bill, because I've got a lot of other notes here. We're working, and again, time is tight, and hearing the views of the council is important through all this area.
Yeah, nicely done, Lee. Thank you very much. Before I move on to questions 7, 8, and 9, just a quick opportunity for anyone to react to what Lee just had to say, or to ask for any clarifications. I thought it was straightforward, Lee, so thank you very much. We're moving to this next grouping of questions. And so again, the way the consultation paper was constructed, these broad foundational questions and drilling down into detail. Now, for the next group of questions, we've got question 7, and this is the climate first approach. Should the trustees have a go for this climate related only for now, climate related only approach for now, and then move on to other ESG elements later? Question 8 is more definitional. Should definition be limited to climate risk, or should it be broader? And question 9 asks whether commenters agree with the proposed approach to materiality. So this is the single or double materiality question. So now we're getting into some detail, and people have, during the course of yesterday and today, have talked about the need for this greater clarity, and I could fully appreciate why it's not possible to do so at this point, because it runs the risk of, well, it looks like you're not really consulting. It looks like you're kind of giving it's a leading question. And I think the trustees did a really good job of saying, no, these are wide open questions. What do you as commenters think? Andreas wants to say a few words about materiality. So Andreas, the floor is yours. And then we turn to Martin. Andreas, please.
Thank you, Bill. My first comment on materiality is that personally, I would believe that it's actually a misnomer. It should not be materiality, it should be relevance. And the reason I'm saying that is that both relevance and materiality are established and defined concepts in financial reporting. And the difference between the two is relevance is an objective concept. Something is relevant when it affects decision making. So you could say it's akin to something being important, whereas materiality is a subjective expression of relevance. It's up to the entity to decide which items that are relevant it reports on. And the concept of materiality is very much tied to creating an error. So I think that given that we do have a very well-defined concept as to what we mean by materiality in financial reporting. We ought to be very careful to use the same concept in the space of non-financial reporting, because all of the other big concepts that are out there do have their specific definition of materiality, some of which are closer to the IASB's definition, but some are further apart. And I think it would be very, very important to probably iron out these differences really early on. The second point that I would like to establish is I'm not so sure whether the concept of single or double materiality really catches it. Because as I see it, it's really, I like to think of it as a 2x2 matrix, where one axis of the matrix is actually, do we mean inside out or outside in? And the other axis is actually targeted towards the audience that we are reporting to. Is it providers of capital only, or is it a wider constituency? If we say, and I heard that by various council members today and yesterday, that we are really concerned about providing information to providers of capital, are we then sure that really all their interest is just a single materiality? What affects the creation of value in the entity? I don't think so. Because if an entity has an effect on its environment, it could very well have a fundamental impact on its financial performance in later periods. It may be litigation, it may be reputational effects that at a later stage translate into financial performance. So I think it's not so clear-cut to say it's only outside in, our traditional way of thinking about, it's never inside out. I think it could very well be inside out. But I would not commingle that question with, does that equate that I have to face the a much broader audience? No, I don't think so. I could still focus my reporting with a view on the providers of capital. So I think clarity is probably needed as to what we mean by materiality first. Are we talking materiality or relevance? And I see a difference between the two. And secondly, if we talk about double materiality, are we not confusing that with the question of whom we are reporting to? Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Andreas. Let's hear from Martin now, and then after Martin, Garth. Hey, Martin.
Thank you. I had a comment on question 7, but I want to hook into Andrea's point about materiality first. It's actually, if you look at IFRS standards from the IASB, it's not that they target investors in general. No, there's actually a definition of what the investor encompasses. It's like an investor that takes the time and effort to, that has a basic knowledge and somehow I think single materiality will get us a long, long, long way if we properly define the now evolved investor for this purpose. And you can define the investor as an investor that takes the valid needs of society into account in investing its funds and considering investment management and the stewardship. So I think the key here is not in double single materiality, it's in how do you define the modern investor. Now to question 7, the climate first approach. I think it's a good, really good idea to do that because it will provide a early proof of concept that the SSB functions. And I think it is effort in many jurisdictions, there's a sense of urgency on climate. And I think it's very tactical and wise to start narrow and make speed and make sure the whole process and the board works. The only problem I have is if we don't at the start are candid about the longer term, and I would say maybe mid-term ambition of the board, it may cause a pushback from some stakeholders. Say, hey, but you were supposed to be focusing on climate, and now you're saying something about governance, and the business model is now incorporated as well. And ultimately, I think the goal should be that the SSB and the ISB together leave no blind spots on the reporting map. Yeah, I'll stick with that.
Very good, Martin. Thank you very much. Garth, over to you, please, and then Pam.
Okay. Yesterday, when we were dealing with a question two, I made a comment that it would be easier to set up a board, this is board, if it was focusing just on the climate change issues. But I also said at that time I have concerns with that, and so I'm going to disagree with Andreas. And I think it shouldn't just be focused on the climate change issues. I think when we look at the whole broad range of sustainability issues, there are some issues that are of more importance than others, and those can change over time. And I think this has been brought to the fore, particularly this year with COVID-19. And I think at the moment, if we look at it, there are certain sustainability issues of a short-term nature that are of such more significance that they pale if we look in the long term towards climate change. We need to look at, are companies going to be a going concern? If they're not going to be a going concern, climate change is a non-issue. And so I think there needs to be a bit more focus on issues such as the economy. Is the company I'm looking to invest in, what are they doing with their employees? Are they going to increase unemployment or reduce unemployment? What impact are they going to have on the economy by where they are sourcing their goods and materials? Are they going to help the local economy, or are they going to import the products? And so, to me, if I was to invest in a company at the moment, those are far more important issues, as far as I'm concerned, short-term issues than long-term issues, which might be more of a climate change issue. And so my concern is that if we had the type of standard that we were envisaging and it was brought out this year, the year of COVID-19, the credibility of it could be called into question if it was just focusing on climate change issues when there are far more important short-term issues that need to be concerned with. And so it's for that reason that I'm really concerned by focus just on the climate change issue. So that's my comment.
Thank you very much, Garth. Let's see, who do we have? Right, Pam. I even mentioned Pam's name before. Pam, the floor is yours, and then over to Leslie. Pam.
Thanks very much. And I guess I'll caveat my comments with the fact that this is the topic of whether one level of climate, the impact of climate on the company, is the appropriate focus is still a subject of discussion in my organization. But I was very struck by what Andreas said about the grid of audience and then inside out and outside in, because when I read paragraph 50, it says that it should focus its efforts on the sustainability information most relevant to investors and other market participants. I think I like that framing of it, but then that framing doesn't say it means climate only, to Garth's point, or it means outside in versus inside out. It doesn't restrict itself in that way either. So I think I like the framing in paragraph 50, but I don't think that that necessarily then translates into we're only going to do one-way climate first. Again, personal view at this stage. And as it, like I said, it also ties into Garth's comments about there are other elements of sustainability that are very relevant for investors if we want to say that that's going to be our frame of reference in terms of constituency or providers of capital, let's say. So I'll stop there. Thanks.
Good. Pam, thank you. Leslie, over to you, please.
So much of this discussion is, to me, highlighting the need for conceptual frameworks. So the outside in or inside out goes to the objective of financial reporting. The word stewardship was used. Cash flows speak to valuation. So we're presuming that consensus already exists on the objectives of this type of reporting. I understand the thought that scope would be limited just because this is, I think I raised the analogy to a whale, that it's just so large, it can't all be handled at once. But it seems the value added by the foundation would be to develop an overall conceptual framework for ESG reporting. It needn't be specific to ES or G, because defining and reaching consensus on the basic objectives, as well as the qualitative, desirable qualitative characteristics of these reports, would be extremely valuable. And even as this is written, this type of conceptual framework could be used by other bodies who are currently working in the area. They have had some of these debates, but I don't think, again, there's any consensus about what the objectives of this type of reporting should be. And that's reflected in the double materiality. To me, that comes down to a question of objectives. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Trevor, what do you think?
I wrote a comment in.
Right.
No, Bill, it was just
Trevor has written. Right. Trevor has written. Trevor agrees with Martin that although the other issues are important, climate reporting needs to be addressed urgently. All right, Trevor, thank you. Let's hear from Javier. Hi, Javier.
Bill, thank you. I just want to echo something that Ray have said, and I think as an investor is really important. And I think Andrea and I think Martin also touched upon the point of materiality. And I think Andrea mentioned the word relevant. I think at the end of the day, really what we need is something that is very useful for investors and market participants. I don't think we should get lost in semantics, but I think, and we can see that already with the financial reporting, we are discussing all the time what is useful for investors to make a decision. So I think this is the concept that we should keep in mind looking forward on the non-financial side. On the second point on the climate-related issues, though I think that all of them, ESG, they are really key and very important. Right now, there is much more information, and I think too much information, I would say, scattered and not consistent regarding to the climate-related issues and the E. I think someone mentioned, I think it was Pam mentioned, the word environmental. Maybe it would be better to take that approach, but definitely as a first step, and not disregarding at all the S and the G, I will focus on those ones. It's very ambitious, I have to say that, to focus on the three ones at this point. And also, many companies already report more consistently. I'm saying consistency is there, but more about the S and the G than about the E and all the other climate-related issues. So I think that's what I wanted to mention. Thank you.
Thank you, Javier. Hello, George. The floor is yours, and then Giuseppe. First, George.
Hi, thank you, Bill. I also agree with Martin or what other said about the climate-first approach. I think the just focusing on climate might be narrow, but considering the timeline and the capacity of the SSB and also quality of the standard, I think the first three, SSB had a better focus on narrow and a crucial agenda, and also which are very important issue to investors. And as for the climate-related financial disclosures, there is already the TCFD, and that is already used so by many companies, and investors also regard as important framework. So I think we had better start from here. But I think SSB should not stop there. They should go to, as everyone pointed out, there are so many issues, like the just environmental area. There is an issue of the, like the waste of plastic or plastic product or such a thing. So they should, you know, develop the coverage. So a broader scope should be considered. And in terms of the question nine, yes, so single materiality, double materiality, there might be an issue of the definition, but I think the 46.46 in the consultation paper, that is definition is also still now very important for me. And so when we use this definition, we can use the legacy of IFRS Foundation, which built a great reputation in setting financial accounting standard, also avoid complexity of the standards. And also, as Hans said yesterday, it keeps the independence of the independent decision of the SSB board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Giuseppe, I see that you agree with Martin and Trevor on the climate first approach. Would you like to add to that, to what you've written?
Yes, well, since you give me the floor, just very briefly, I think that we should not be overambitious. I personally see no way to have comprehensive reporting on sustainability if we want really to include everything. I think that we need to start from somewhere to provide relevant information, but it would be very difficult to be thorough, I think impossible. Therefore, starting with climate, which is already quite difficult, seems to be a perfectly good place for me to start with. Thanks.
Okay, Giuseppe, thank you. Ken, let me give you the floor. I like your written intervention, but why don't you either read it out or just expound on it, if you would?
Well, I guess what I was trying to get at is that I suspect a climate-first approach might sort of cut across some getting some good information out to investors, and that's why I'm kind of a bit wary about it. To me, a sustainable company is more likely to be one that is agile, that is nimble, and measures of agility and nimbleness are relevant to all sorts of things, whether it's a massive weather event, whether it's a social event, whether it's an earthquake, or whichever. So that information about if we can start develop consistent reporting on the company's adaptability, then I think we're in a good place in providing good information to investors, and that's as relevant to climate change as it is to all the other risks, including the pandemic, COVID-19. So I think it's just the way you were looking at slicing and dicing this. I agree we need to take steps. You can't do the whole thing at once, but it may be that you want to start looking at governance measures or resilience measures rather than climate change measures.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. Isabel, let's hear from you, please. And then James.
Thank you. I actually wanted to support Garth's comments, also in line of what's happening in Europe at the moment, and you know, with in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, at least ESMA and its year-end enforcement priorities has actually put also the emphasis on the social aspects. So we think that's really important. The other risk, I think I've mentioned that before. If there's a focus or an initial strong focus on the climate to the detriment of other issues, is that fragmentation will continue, so that might make it difficult afterwards in a longer run for that board to actually play catch up. Now, it might be good in terms of the modular approach, but it may not be so good in the long run. And I think in terms of credibility, I think we would support, but again, this is for the moment staff views, we would support that the full range be addressed then, rather than just going for climate. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much, Isabel. James, over to you, and then Aiko, but first James.
Thank you, Bill. Just a comment with that I want to just pause and think about. We seem to be approaching this in a rather linear fashion, baby steps, if you want to call it that. Let's do climate first, then broaden our horizons and think about the other parts of the ESG concept and holistic concept. It does concern me. A comment that was made yesterday by Henry did resonate very strongly with me, that we mustn't forget the objective here. And I think there are a lot of different important things, and it may be important in certain jurisdictions, it may be of global importance, but there is an organization, and here I'm showing my South African bias, unfortunately. There is an organization that approached it from a conceptual framework first, and that's the IIRC, which I haven't heard much mention of in today's of discussion. And they developed a conceptual framework which is overarching. And I'm wondering whether, if we were to progress down this line, whether that shouldn't be an approach worth considering, is to create an umbrella conceptual framework which would be relevant to all ESG concepts, and then depending on what is urgent, i.e. like the normal agenda request for information that goes out, the board can focus on certain areas. So it may be on certain aspects of climate ratios and reporting, it may be on certain social aspects, it may be on certain governance aspects. I think my sense is that climate and focusing purely on climate has been addressed by a lot of organizations. The ones that have not been addressed to me are social and governance. And I think this is where, if the board is going to prove its process, would be to actually tackle those as well. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Well said. Aiko, and then we'll hear from Carolyn. Aiko, please.
Yes, thank you. About the climate first approach, I am concerning about that there are very complicated broader issues relating to ESG. So I also agree to develop climate first, very crucial issue first. But it should not be limited. In the corporate reporting, ESG is important. Social and governance affairs should be included in the near future. Therefore, I believe that when developing sustainability reporting standards, the IFRS Foundation should develop climate-related financial disclosure first and spread to other ESG factors, social and governance, and so on. About the materiality issue, I believe that the single materiality approach focused on the investors, market participants, should be basically adopted. I understand that there is a support of a double materiality approach and so on. However, if the approach is changed, it might affect the foundation's mission and governance. It would not be effective, and considering the relationship with the financial statements, the needs of the sustainability report, it is important to focus on the investors and market participants. Thank you.
Thank you, Aiko. That brings us to Carolyn. Carolyn's got the answer for us, and then Tan, but first Carolyn. Carolyn, are you there? All right, let's jump to, oh, sorry, there you are, Carolyn.
Sorry, Bill. I didn't have any, I was participating in the chat. I don't know if I accidentally virtually raised my hand, but I was just, you know, back to this issue of measurement not being settled and just the degree of normative discussion that goes on around these things, I think just indicates how challenging this is, I guess.
Yeah. No, thanks, Carolyn. I should use a little bit more discretion. I've been following the chat, and I see someone's name, and I automatically call on them. So, sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Please, let's hear from Tan and then Martin. Hi, Tan.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, I would like to echo what was said by Martijn Bos, that it is important that the foundation will cover the full corporate reporting, so the E, the S, and the G, and not only those three, also, as I yesterday indicated, the assets that are not recognized, and the information about that is really important. I think that the most important thing is that the board or the standard board should start with setting up, and it was also said by James and others, with a conceptual framework, an umbrella conceptual framework. And by having said that, I'm not sure that it is a good idea to start with standards on climates and then from only one materiality perspective. By setting up a conceptual framework, both the double materiality should be taken into account in my view. And I'm wondering how much time is available to come up with standards, because the developments are going so quickly at the moment, as we, for example, see in Europe. And I think it is very important, if the foundation would set up a standards board, that there is a clear picture of the route. When do we expect to cover everything? When do we expect to come up with a umbrella framework? Because what we see now, it is rather unclear. And I think it is important that we have a get a view what we might expect if the foundation would go this route. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tan. Martin, over to you, and then we'll hear from Sue.
Thanks, Bill. I guess question 7 for me is highly related to paragraph 31A. So achieving a sufficient level of global support from public authorities and market stakeholders, and what drives these stakeholders. And currently there is a political intention to guide investment capital into certain areas. And I guess it would also be key then from investors to find that link in a financial reporting. Otherwise, any other authority would develop these measures. For me, I'm a little bit with James. I guess on the one hand, there should be a clear focus on climate-related disclosures, but on the other hand, a framework is necessary. And with regard to the other topics, one could probably have a kind of, say, minimum standards, so comply or explain, but not to that degree of detail details than with regard to climate disclosures. So it's a kind of mixed approach. That then would be a framework, but more detailed measurements with regard to climate first, because I doubt that at the same time one could develop sufficient detailed regulations on all disclosures for potential all ESG areas. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Martin. Sue, please, let's hear from you.
Thanks. So this is the trustees' consultation rather than the board's consultation, but what I'm trying to do, hopefully Lee thinks it's okay, is to sort of make some suggestions which reflect what I've sort of learnt with consultations that the board's done in the past in terms of what's helpful for moving things forward when people respond. So it's sort of whether listening to the conversation and some of the comments that are coming up, lots of really interesting, good points, but some observations maybe for when people go away and are involved, I'm hoping, with letters that come into to the trustees. Now, one of the things that we've learned when we've done some consultations in the past, in particular our agenda consultation, is that sometimes lots of people write to us and say that we agree that's a really good idea, but then further down the path we realise they all were saying that's a great idea, but they all had different ideas in mind. And I think one of the things that we need to be conscious of in this consultation, and it's not because of the consultation itself, but it's the topic where it's evolving and there's lots of different initiatives which have slightly different scopes and focuses, is to make sure that it's clear in responses what we mean. So you might say, yes, I agree that there should be work on sustainability, but for you, what does sustainability encompass? And so I think those sorts of things, it's going to be really important to get clarity. People have made the important observation that doing something sooner rather than later could be a good thing. And the more specificity we can get through this initial consultation, I think the more ability that the trustees have got to move forward quickly if there is appetite for them to do something and that they agree that it's a good idea. That Andreas made an interesting point when he made the comment about the sort of there's the matrix part of it's, you know,
I think Sue may have frozen
different things. Have I frozen?
We can hear you, Sue, but yeah, I think if you could back up a little bit, we could.
I'll try. Can you hear me?
Certainly can hear you, yes.
Okay. Sorry. I think it would be good, rather than using the shorthand like financial materiality and double materiality, maybe it's clearer for us with our feedback. Can you hear me, Lee?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. To give more direct messages. So do you agree with the focus on information that's important for investors versus different stakeholder groups? So a more direct response might be useful to assist. I think the other thing just to note on the materiality point that was brought up, and a couple of people made the point, I think, that maybe it should be relevance or maybe it should be usefulness of information. I think one of the reasons why materiality in this instance might be important as a specific concept is that one of the other things that we're all dealing with as well is a concern with disclosure overload and too much information. The nice thing about the concept of materiality is it is focusing in not just on what's relevant and what's useful, but what's so important that it could affect decision making. So I guess just a caution to throw the notion of materiality out, even though we might need to be careful what we mean in the context it's being used in, but it is a good filter in terms of avoiding clutter of information.
All right, Sue, thank you very much. Got it, that was helpful. Let's hear from Garth. Garth, would you like the floor?
No, that's okay. Fine, Bill. It was really just the comment I made was really going back to the paragraph 31, and then it is really what we're really talking about is for this to be a success, it has to have a clearly articulated purpose and objective that is widely understood and consistently understood. And I heard the discussion all makes sense, and I think it has a giving that broad mandate makes sense. To me, though, I would focus on climate as the first point, going back to my earlier comment about having something that is relevant and of value to the various stakeholders in a very immediate fashion. And what I see right now is that would be around definitions and measurement in particular. And the comment was made that is most easily done in a non-political way and in a very objective way in the area of climate. So I would agree that it makes sense to focus there, but to have a wider mandate.
Okay, thank you, Garth. Bileng, over to you, and then I'll ask Christian to take the floor afterwards. Bileng?
Thank you, Bill. My observation on question 9, I can see the attractiveness of single materiality and maybe should not be overly ambitious, but my concern is whether we would then just cover ground that many organizations have already covered. So perhaps it's worth taking a broader view of double materiality to show the IFRS Foundation and the SSB have the ability to and skill to take the lead and tackle hard questions. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Bileng. Christian, over to you, and then over to Ellen. But Christian first.
Thank you very much. I think it's a really good discussion we have at the moment. In terms of how the work should progress, I think we should also figure out, and I think Hans mentioned it at a certain stage, to look at what are the strengths of the IFRS and the foundation and sort of the business model for the trustees, if I may put it that way. And therefore, I believe that one of there needs to be taken some decisions, and I think investor focus or primary users is a good way to sort of set the scene for what are we trying to achieve with the sustainability board. That would flow directly into some of the competences and the remit of the trustees. If focus on reporting and framework, also doing the interconnection with the financial statements, I definitely see that would be one of the strengths and competences of the trustees. They could really make a difference there, say, how can we align non-financial reporting to the financial reporting with the focus on the primary users. We definitely support the issue of a double materiality with a investor focus, primary user focus. That would be a way of limiting it. We don't necessarily think we should limit the scope to climate. We can understand why one would start with climate-related issues. There is a thing that has not been brought up so far, but there's a different focus in terms of the reporting period. Financial information is usually a historic information, 12 months. A lot of the ESG reporting is forward-looking. It has longer time span. I mean, climate, you have a target of 10, 20, 30 years. Yes, you report on historical emissions for 1 year, but essentially we are talking about the forward-looking information and that how do those two concepts flow together and interlink. I think that's really where the trustees and the foundation can make a difference, and a new standard setting board could make a difference. So focus on the links. And it brings us back to the comment just made in terms of what is actually the purpose of setting up the board. So for me, we can see the purpose is in terms of organizing the reporting. Yes, they may build on current initiatives, but gradually they can take over more detailed regulations and concepts. Thank you. I think you were muted, Bill.
Yes, so I was. I said, sorry about that. I said, thank you, Christian. And then I called on Ellen for her intervention. And then after Ellen, we'll hear from Henry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. I just, again, want to make a high-level, very short observation. So for questions 7, 8, and 9, and no matter what the scope will be, what materiality level, double or single, I think that a clearly formulated and well-communicated deliverables, milestones, and timelines for short-term, medium-term, and long-term will be very important. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Ellen. Henry, please, and then Martin.
Thanks, Bill. I'm probably building a little bit on what Ellen and Sue have got. I mean, I guess returning to my theme of yesterday, I think we all agree the end goal. The challenge is how do we get there? And we all have a number of journeys and a number of priorities of doing that. I agree with the board's proposal around single materiality and also focus on climate. I recognize that's not necessarily always a common view, but I think what the trustees need to think about and or the board, and I guess we need to think about in responding to that, is whatever is chosen first is the first part of a longer journey. And actually, how do you then almost in a parallel process provide a mechanism so the next levels of priorities can be discussed? Because at the moment, people almost see everything as binary. I think that's not really the case. It's what's the top priority that is focused with initially. And going back to earlier conversations, people are also very keen that things are done quickly. So we see some significant tensions. And how can we as responders help the trustees deal with that? Again, on a personal perspective, climate, single materiality, but also how do we work out dealing with what comes next and get a consultation process? Because clearly, climate is not the only issue. I completely agree. The full holistic ESG is where we all want to be, but we have to do that through a series of stepping stones.
Good. Thank you, Henry. Well said. Would anyone else like the floor? Last chance. That was a really interesting discussion. Sybil, we haven't heard from you on this. Please, the floor is yours. Over to you, Sybil. Sybil, unless you are on mute, there might be a technical issue. Sybil, we will come back to you. I'm going to ask Garth Jones to weigh in. So, Garth, please.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Yeah, perhaps we don't have time to cover it here today, but one of the aspects of 31 that I was, paragraph 31 I was drawn to was paragraph G, which talked about ensuring the current mission and resources of the IFRS Foundation are not compromised. I did wonder whether that's broad enough and perhaps that could encompass things like reputation and standing. And perhaps one of the things that would be useful in submissions would be to think about how that might be compromised. And therefore, as we think about what we might do and what success might look like, also to think about what failure might look like and in what ways the failure could then potentially compromise the work of the existing foundation. And again, my sense would be that part of the reason for keeping it narrow early on and not being too ambitious early on would be that is the case. And that we can clearly make a success of whatever we do first. So I haven't heard much in the discussion about the sort of the downsides and the risks of overreaching, but that would be a concern, I think, that I would have. And I think paragraph G is very important and should get adequate consideration in consultation documents. Thanks.
Good point, Garth. Thank you very much. Sybil, are you with us? I think we might have a technical issue with Sybil. Greg, then, over to you.
Yes, sorry, just listening to the single versus double materiality. There's a sort of premise in the consultation paper that investors are primarily interested on environmental impacts on the actual company and the company's how its financial metrics develop. But from what I see it from the invest, you know, from the investment banking side and the equity business, increasingly investor mandates either explicitly in the first order have ESG criteria that are broad, not so much the impact on the company, but on broader society, or second order or implicitly have those mandates. So in effect, for an investor, double materiality is the issue in terms of how the share price moves. And if we had a sort of just a single materiality set of standards, I think that'd largely be ignored, because actually it's the second part of the double materiality that is most going to affect a supply and demand on share prices going forward. And it's interesting to note, I don't know who I was talking to, but last year ESG never came up, and suddenly this year, for some reason around, we're getting a whole bunch of new mandates with ESG. You literally can't invest in anything unless they meet certain ESG criteria. And it's funny to see equity salespeople phoning up the likes of Greg, who's the analyst, saying, "Oh, can you give me a rundown of the ESG or this company or that company?" I'm like, "All right, cool." So, as I say, it's the second part of the materiality that is going to affect the share prices because it will restrict demand for a particular share unless they meet tick the boxes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Greg.